headline this hour, Turkey charges two retired army generals with plotting to stage a coup against the government. The UN and Russia slam Israel's decision to include West Bank holy sites in its national heritage list. And a Pakistani court blocks the possible deportation of captured top Taliban leaders to Afghanistan.
It is 6 p.m. at the United Nations headquarters in New York and 1 a.m. in Ankara, Turkey. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us. Well, two retired Turkish generals have been charged with plotting to stage a coup against the government. Earlier, police arrested 18 more officers in connection with a coup plan. An active military officer is among those detained. The arrests come as part of a major operation in 13 cities across Turkey. This is Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan has warned the army that no one is above the law. More than 50 officers have been detained since the start of the week, fueling speculation of early elections. Turkish President Abdullah Gül has held crisis talks to discuss the latest developments. He has said the country's problems will be resolved within the framework of the constitution. Well, earlier we asked our correspondent in Turkey about the effects these arrests might have on Istanbul's EU membership bid.
Well, I imagine that this will have a positive impact on Turkish EU relations, because for as long as I know, the EU annual report on Turkey has been calling for the government to curb the military's influence in politics, which means, of course, normalising the relationship between the military and the government. Now, this is quite difficult for AK Party because its background is one of its politics come from an Islamic background. And of course, the military see themselves as the protectorate of the secular state. So this is where the conflict arises. Now, the European Union, for their part, have said that they're watching the probe very, very closely indeed, and they're calling on the government to ensure that it's carried out in a free and fair manner and in line with European norms.
You know, Russia has criticized Israel's decision to put two mosques in the West Bank on its national heritage list. Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman Andrei Nesarenko says such actions only hamper the resumption of peace talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Nesarenko says Russia is categorically against the move. He's advised Israel to treat issues that have deep religious roots with utmost care and respect. Earlier, the United Nations cultural arm, UNESCO, expressed its concern about the Israeli decision. Israel has decided to add Ibrahimi Mosque in Al-Khalil and Bilal Mosque in Bethlehem to a list of its so-called Jewish heritage sites. People in Syria and the West Bank have held protests against Israeli claims to West Bank shrines. Israeli forces clashed with Palestinian protesters for a fifth day in the West Bank city of Al-Khalil, also known as Hebron. Palestinian caretaker Prime Minister Salam Fayyad, who joined the Friday prayers in Al-Khalil, called for calm among Palestinians. Meanwhile, hundreds of people have rallied in the Syrian capital, Damascus, to condemn Israeli claims. They say the Israeli action further undermines efforts to resume the long-stalled peace process.
The UN General Assembly has once again demanded credible probes into charges of war crimes during Israel's offensive on Gaza at the turn of last year.
Acting above the law, Israel has inflicted untold suffering and devastation on the Palestinian people it has oppressed for over four decades in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, and has its course gravely undermined the applicability and credibility of international law.
The UN Assembly overwhelmingly approved a resolution that gives Israel and the Palestinians 5 months to investigate serious violations of international humanitarian law during the war. Over 1,400 Palestinians, most of them civilians, and 13 Israelis, most of them soldiers, were killed during Tel Aviv's 22-day war on Gaza. Meanwhile, Israel and the U.S. have opposed further investigation, calling the U.N. finding in Gaza flawed. Israel's U.N. ambassador has also threatened that Tel Aviv would not hesitate to launch another war on Gaza and Lebanon.
Well, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has returned from his two-day visit to the Syrian capital, Damascus. He spoke to media on his arrival in Tehran.
Iran, Syria, and the Palestinian and Lebanese resistant forces are prepared for any situation. We hope that arrogant powers and enemies of the countries in the region reconsider and change their policies. The Zionist regime's threats to attack Lebanon and Syria and to assassinate their senior figures should end. The rights of the Palestinians should also be returned.
During his visit to Syria, Ahmadinejad met with the head of the Lebanese Hezbollah movement, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. They discussed the latest developments in the Middle East as well as Israeli threats against Lebanon and Syria. Ahmadinejad condemned Israel's move to add two holy sites, sacred to Christians and Muslims, to its national heritage list. He also said that Israel would receive a big blow from regional countries if it repeats its past mistakes. Nasrallah, for his part, said that the resistance movement is closely monitoring the situation in the region. He emphasized that the resistance is prepared to fully counter any threat or attack.
Well, eight more British protesters have been sent to jail for their part in protests against Israel's military assault on Gaza last year. 78 people in total were charged and are being taken to court, but complaints of police brutality have largely been dismissed.
Five more lives tainted with a jail sentence for clashing with the police during protests over Israel's attack on Gaza last year. If the families of the latest batch of defendants sentenced at Isleworth Crown Court in London were hoping for leniency, many will have been sorely disappointed. Inside the court, the judge accepted that in some of the cases, the unlawful behaviour lasted for only a matter of minutes, in the context of protests which lasted for several hours during a period of strong emotions. He added that many of those being tried were of exemplary character. But the judge stressed that the offences were of a serious nature and that he had to pass sentences which would deter others from doing the same in future. In one example, a 30-year-old man, the oldest to have been tried so far, was handed an 18-month sentence, despite pleas for leniency from his defence counsel.
His wife is pregnant and she is due in September, so he's not going to be there for the birth of his child. And just in general, he's going to come out with a criminal record. So he's just completing and establishing and starting his life after graduating and would like to move on. And now this is going to hinder all of that.
The total number of people jailed for their part in what the court has deemed violent disorder at protests last year outside the Israeli embassy has now reached 20. And all of those found guilty have received custodial sentences, which many human rights activists have argued are excessive and disproportionate to the crimes. Outside the court, demonstrators believe that this was an attempt at silencing protests, which the government finds unpalatable.
The vast majority of these people are Muslim. Like, that's the message that they're trying to send, that it is specific. It is a specific target on the anti-war movement, but specifically on the Muslim community.
Israel's military assault on the Gaza Strip, dubbed Operation Cast Lead, resulted in the deaths of 1,400 Palestinians, the majority of them civilians. As the death toll rose, protesters from a number of backgrounds gathered outside the Israeli embassy in London on a daily basis to express their anger. It's here that the defendants are accused of throwing objects at the police and damaging property. But the police too stand accused of using overly aggressive and violent tactics, although almost all of the official complaints made against them have been dismissed.
But the fact is, the police aren't facing up to the problems. The judge has said repeatedly that the police response was measured, but when you actually look at any of the independent footage, the police response was not measured at all. This was indiscriminate violence on the hands of the police.
The Metropolitan Police say they have learnt lessons in dealing with the Gaza protests and have incorporated them into their current and future operations. They say the police service has a tradition of upholding the right to protest, and it will continue to do so. Hassan Ghani, Press TV, London.
Elsewhere, a Pakistani court says none of the Afghan Taliban leaders detained inside the country should be handed over to any foreign country, including Afghanistan. The decree was ordered by the Lahore High Court. It comes the day after Afghanistan said in a statement that Pakistan had agreed to extradite the Taliban leaders in its custody. However, Pakistan's Interior Ministry earlier said that authorities would first see if the Taliban leaders were needed to be tried inside the country. Among the detainees is Mullah Abdullah Ghani Baradar, who is said to be second only to the Taliban Supreme Chief Mullah Omar. Reports say he was arrested because of disagreements with Mullah Omar. Islamabad confirmed the capture of Baradar in Pakistan's southern city of Karachi earlier this month. In the meantime, Afghan intelligence officials as well as Taliban figures themselves rule out the effectiveness of such arrests and trials. They say a fresh group of experienced Taliban leaders awaits to take over the role of their arrested comrades.
The German parliament has voted to increase its troop levels in Afghanistan and extend its mission in the country for one more year. It plans to send 500 more troops to the war-torn country, with the remaining 350 on standby, tasked with training Afghan forces.
Germany's parliament has approved plans to send up to 850 additional troops to Afghanistan. During parliament debate, lawmakers from the left party were ordered to leave the chamber after they held up signs showing the names of those killed in an airstrike in Afghanistan last year ordered by a German commander.
Mehr ziviles Engagement.
We want more civilian engagement. We want the Afghan police to decide their own fate. An enduring occupation leads only to new trouble, suffering and hate, not reconciliation.
The presence of the soldiers makes the situation in Afghanistan even worse. There are more fights and the situation of the people is also getting worse. The left party was later readmitted to vote on the mandate which they intended to oppose unanimously. But the result was easy to predict as the mandate was previously approved by Merkel's cabinet.
429 parliamentarians voted for the new mandate, 111 voted against it and 46 abstained. I hereby declare the approval of the new one-year mandate.
The new one-year mandate allows for another 350 extra soldiers to be deployed on flexible missions and is also aimed at strengthening Germany's civil reconstructioning help in Afghanistan. And it raised the maximum number allowed to serve in Afghanistan from 4,500 to 5,350. The German government has said it begins withdrawing troops from Afghanistan in the year 2011, but has not set a concrete date for withdrawal. The military has warned earlier the new mandate could expose German soldiers to greater danger, and it remains to be seen whether this troops build-up will lead to peace and security in Afghanistan. Roderick Wickert for Press TV in Berlin.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Turkey charges two retired army generals with plotting to stage a coup against the government. The UN and Russia slam Israel's decision to include West Bank holy sites in its national heritage list. And a Pakistani court blocks the possible deportation of captured top Taliban leaders to Afghanistan.